The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Emor, Emor El HaKohanim. There are a number of various mitzvahs in the Parsha. Amongst them are the mitzvahs of the Moadim, of the Yom Tovim. And in these mitzvahs we have the source for the mitzvah of the Dalet Minim, of the Lulav and the Esrog and the other two Minim that we are obligated to take on Sukkos. And since we very rarely have a chance to speak about this in the Yeshiva, because Sukkos always comes out during the Bein Hazmanim, during the break, I would like to speak about it this evening. The Torah tells us in the Parsha, Perek Chof Gimel Posuk Mem, Ulekachtem Lochem Bayim Arishon, that you shall take for yourselves on the first day of the Chag, on the first day of Sukkos, Pri Eitz Hodor, Kapis Temorin, Ba'anaf Eitz Oves, Ba'arve Nochal. It lists four different types of plants. Smachtem Livnei Hashem Alekechem Shiva Shomim, and you shall rejoice before, they shall rejoice before Hashem, the God, Shiva Shomim, your God, Shiva Shomim, for 7 days. The four that I mentioned are Pri Eitz Hodor, which means a fruit which is very, very beautiful. The Mishnah in Perek Lulav HaGozel in Masechet Sukkah tells us this is the Esrog, which we would call a citron. Kapis Temorim, this is a branch of the Tomer, of the date palm tree. And this, the Mishnah refers to, calls a lulav. Anaf Eitz Oves, a branch of a tree or a plant, Sha'anofav Kluim Kaveses Ukechavolim. A tree or a plant whose stems are plaited and intertwined with each other like ropes and cords. And this is what we call the Hadas and the myrtle plant. Arve Nochal, this is an arova, a willow, a certain type of willow which is called arova, and it grows next to the river. Its specific name is the arova. Also, sometimes it's referred to as the Hashanos, but that's just a borrowed name that's given to it. And this is what the Targum, Unkelis, tells us on this posuk. B'seisvun lechon b'yuma kadmor pre ilona esregin, that you should take an esrog, balalubin, a lulav, adasin, the adasa, ba'arvin de nochal, and the arve nochal. Some other pertinent roshus that the Mishnah or the Gemara tells us about the Arba Minim, also in Perek Lulav HaGozel, the Esrog, which is called the Pri Eitz Hodor. It is called Pri-Eitz. Pri-Eitz doesn't say Pri-Shel-Eitz, a fruit of a tree, but rather it says Pri-Eitz, which would seem to mean a fruit tree. The Gemara Darshins Tam Pri Ve-Eitz Shovin, the taste of the fruit and the taste of the wood of the tree are equal. This means that the taste and the essence of the fruit of the esrog tree is in the wood of the tree also. This is something of great significance, because in the beginning of the Sefer Torah, in Bereishis Aleph, Posuk Yud Aleph, on the third day of creation, Vayeim Elokim Tach Ha'aretz Deshe Esev Mazriya Zera Eitz Pri Esev Pri Leminai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he commanded that the earth should bring forth vegetation, Eitz Pri Esev Pri, and it should bring forth, now what it would seem to mean, Eitz Pri Esev Pri, trees that bring forth fruit. But it does not say Eitz Esev Pri, trees which bring forth fruit. Rather it says Eitz Pri Esev Pri, fruit trees that bring forth fruit. What is meant by fruit trees that bring forth fruit? It should say trees that bring forth fruit. So from here the Chazal Darshan, Rashi brings it. Shiyatama eitz kitama pri. That not only the tree should bring forth fruit, but the tree itself should be a fruit tree. It should have the same essence and taste in the wood itself. We find, though, that in the next pasuk it states, "Vatotzi ha'aretz desha ve'eitz esev pri." This, what we read, was the command, but when it came to fruition, it merely states that the earth brought forth eitz esev pri, trees that would produce fruit, not fruit trees that would produce fruit. So we see that the earth did not fulfill the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi brings, Lefichok kishniskalo odom alaveinai, that later on when man ate from the Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge, Bein Tev L'Ra, between good and evil, that he was not supposed to eat from, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cursed the earth. So it states that when, why did he curse the earth? He should have cursed man. Nifkodo gam hi alaveno. The earth also was cursed, because the earth also did not fulfill its mitzvah at this point. The Maral in the Gorai explains, what does it mean the earth did not fulfill its mitzvah? It was not capable. It was not capable of that level of bringing forth trees which would be fruit trees producing fruit, but merely trees producing fruit. So what is of extreme interest is that evidently, by the Esrog, this mitzvah was fulfilled. As the Gemara Darshins, it states pre-Eitz Hoder, that the tree itself has also the taste and the essence of the Esrog, not only the Esrog itself. So evidently this was not included in that transgression. It was capable of doing this, and therefore it wouldn't have been included in the klolo, in the curse. We'll find that this will be true also by one of the other, meaning one of the other species of these four. Another point that the Chazal Darshins on Esrog creates Hodor. We said, what does Hodor mean? Beautiful. This means that there must be beauty in this mitzvah. And the Gemara tells us, Iskash kolaminim lahadodi, that since all four of these species are mentioned in the same posuk, so they all have a common halacha, and that is there must be beauty in these mitzvahs. From here we learn that if there is the lack of beauty in one of these species, then no longer do they qualify for the mitzvah. And that's, for example, is what is written in the Mishnah at the beginning of Lulav HaGozel, Lulav HaYovesh Posul. If you have a lulav which is totally dried out,
even though it's still a lulav, can't use it. Why? It's still a lulav. Or the same with an esrog, or any of the four. Because it states hodor. They have to be beautiful. And if they lack of their beauty, then they are possible, they are disqualified for the mitzvah. Now this is a chidush, this is something which is unique by this mitzvah. Because even though there is what is known as hidur mitzvah, there is a mitzvah to beautify all of the mitzvahs. And this we learn from another source, from the Pasuk Zekeli Van Vehu. This is my God and I shall beautify him. He's Moya Lefona B'mitzvahs, beautify his mitzvahs. But this is only Lechatchila. This is what we are supposed to do, but it does not disqualify, it does not reject the mitzvah if it's not there. But here by this mitzvah of the Lulav and the Esrog and Hadas and the Arova, since it states explicitly Hodor, then this is the Ikuva. This disqualifies the mitzvah. Actually, this is explained by Tosfos right in the beginning of the Perek. Another drosha that the Gemara uses from the word hodor. Hador bi'ilona meishana l'shona. Hodor also means to dwell. This is a tree where its fruit are always dwelling on the tree. Generally, the normal tree does not have fruit on it all of the time. It has fruit in season. But out of season, there is no fruit. The esrog tree has fruit all of the time. Because it takes 2 or 3 years for the fruit to mature. So when the new fruit come, it's not an empty tree. The old fruit are already there. It's a tree that always is carrying its fruit. And this adds to the uniqueness of this tree. Creates hodor, hador bi'ilona mishona l'shona, where the fruit dwells on the tree from 1 year to the other. Those are a few points that the Gemara, Mishnah Gemara makes in Legabi in regards to the esrog. In regards to the second mean, anaf etz oves, the hadaso, the myrtle plant. Kolua kimin klia v'dayma l'shalselas. It's a plant which is braided, and it's like a rope, a chain. And a rope and a chain has three links to it, at least three. The Gemara says, "Beinon de kaimei tilso tilso tirfe bikino echod, klosa klosa tirfe bikino echod." There has to be three leaves of the myrtle plant which comes from each bud. This is what we refer to as mishuloshin. If you have a plant where two leaves come from one bud and then a third one from another bud, it's not a kosher hadasa. Also it states anaf etz oves. This also had the uniqueness where the essence of the fruit was also in the taste of the wood. Then the Gemara tells us this was a plant she'anof of chefines etzai, where its leaves totally covered the wood. You had a branch, and generally you have leaves, but you can see the wood. Here you cannot see the wood. It totally covered. And the sages say that this represented snius, represented modesty. The Maral writes in his Pirush on Masechet Megillah that Esther was called Hadassah. Why was she called Hadassah? Hashem Atzniyah Shebo. Because of her modesty. The Gemara writes Esther was very, very modest. We see this because Ein Esther Magedes Es Amo Umaladato. Esther would not reveal to Ahasuerus who she was, who she was born to, what nation she belonged to. Mordechai instructed her not to, because she had come from Malchus. She came from Shaul, King Saul, and he was afraid that if Ahasuerus would know this, then for sure he would keep her, and he was hoping that he would send her away. And to the contrary, had she told him, then he was offering her, trying to entice her with all types of riches and wealth and whatnot, and still she would not reveal. Someone who can conceal and withhold and not reveal, this is the Midas Hatsnius. This is the Midah of modesty. So the Gemara tells that she was a descendant from Shaul, who was very, very modest, who was a descendant from Rochel, that was very, very modest. He says this is why her name was Adassa. The plant itself has this virtue of modesty. Kapis Temorim. Then the Torah says we should take Kapis Temorim. We said that's the lulav. This is a palm of a date branch. The Gemara says from the word Kapis means Yechatfenu. Bound together, tied together. Kedim Shanof of Yishpadu Zemizeh. This is before the palm branch branches out. In other words, what we take is a shoot, a young shoot. But before, it spreads out. And then finally, we have the Arvei Nochal. This was a plant, the Gemara says, that Ola Shalom Moshu Kenochal. The leaf was long and narrow like a river, and not round. And also, it grew near a river. Grew near water. It likes water. And this is why it's called Arvei Nochal, the willows of the river, or of the waters. This was in general. But such a plant like this, if you would find in a dry area, if it's from the same mean, the same species, it would also be good. So these are some of the pertinent droshes and halochos that the Gemara brings out on the Dalet Minim, on these four. Actually, the Rambam gives an excellent summary on this, which I would just like to read in Hilchas Lulav Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph to Dalet. He says, Kapis Temorim, Chari Shel Dekel, Kishi Yitzmechu Kedem Shishpadu Alin Shelehen Lekan Lekan. The lulav, this comes from the palm, the date palm, and this is before it matures, where it spreads out. But kimei sharbit, it's like a sharbit, like a staff. The pre-eitz hoder, this is the esrog, what we call the citron. The anaf eitz oves, omor betora hu hadas. This is the das, which we call the myrtle. So all of chayfines etzay, its leaves cover its wood, and it must have shlosha alin o yeser. It must have three or more leaves extending from each bud. But if it had two leaves, and then one above it, this is called the hadas sheita. This is a fraudulent hadasa, and it's not kosher. Arvei Nochal, this is not everything, the Rambam says, that grows next to water, but min yodua, there was a special min, a special species of a tree which generally grew near water, and this was called the arova. It's a type of willow, but not any type of willow. Ola shalei moshu kenochal, its leaf was long and narrow like a river. Piv cholok, its edge was smooth. Koneshle edoim, and its stem was red. When it was green in the early part of the season, but later on, when it became mature, it's red. And this is what was known as the arova. Generally, he says, the majority of this species grows near water. But if you find this species in the desert or on the mountains, it's also good. There was another type of plant that was similar to the arova, but its leaf was round and it had a jagged edge, and its stem was not red. This is called a tzapzifa, and he psula. This is not kosher. There was another type of willow that had the above signs. Its leaves were long and narrow, and its stem was red, but its edges were not smooth, but they had little jags, very, very small jags. This is kosher. One other interesting halacha that Rambam brings in this perek, halacha chov dalad, he says, "Kacho yominag biYerushalayim." This was the minhog in Yerushalayim. Yeitze adam mibeisei shachris velulave biyodei. In the morning, when he would go out with the lulav in his hand, the lulav in esrik, the das in the arova. Nichnas nebeis haknesses vu biyodei. He would go to shul. He would carry it. When he would daven, he would have it in his hand. If he would go to visit the sick or to comfort mourners during the Yom Tovim, he would carry it. Then when he would later go to the Beis HaMedrash to learn, he would send it together with his son or a servant to take home. So this was the minhag in Yerushalayim. What are some of the meanings that perhaps we can understand in this mitzvah, because it seems to be a very, very strange mitzvah? We take a citron, and we take a myrtle plant, and we take a willow, and we take a branch of a date palm, and we tie it all together, and we fulfill a mitzvah with it. We shake it and we say halal with it. What are some of the meanings that the Chazal, the sages, give us that perhaps we can have some further understanding in this? The Medrash Rabbah here in Parshas Emor, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yud Beis, Oshud Beis, Ramoni Posach, Ramoni started with the pasuk in Tehillim Lamed Hei. Kol atzmeisei tamanu Hashem mikomecha. David HaMelech said, Kol atzmeisei tamanu, all of my self, my entire self, all of my bones, all of my organs, will say to Hashem, who is like you? He will praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of himself. Shidri shel lulav, deim leshidri shel odom. The lulav, if you look at it, it has a spine. And that spine is very, very similar to the spine of the person. Hadas kineger ayin. The hadassus, myrtle plant, if you look at its leaves, they look just like eyes, human eyes. Arova kineged apeh. If you look at the arova, the willow, it looks just like a mouth. Esrei kineged alev. And the esrog looks like the shape of a heart. Omar David ein bechol ha'evorim godol me'elu. Shekein shkulin kineged kol aguf. David says these four are the most important part of the human being. The spine, and the eyes, and the mouth, and the heart. And therefore, kol atzmeisei tamanu Hashem mikomecha. I will praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of myself. What did he mean? He meant that when the person takes these four plants, and he fulfills the mitzvah with them, and he praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he is doing this is representing that he's praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of himself, with these four important organs, which represents all of man. All of the important parts of man must be utilized and incorporated in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, it states Ein Keneged Hadas, the Ein, the Hadassah, the myrtle plant, look like the eyes. This represents the power of sight. The power of sight that's in man is something which is not physical, but is spiritual. The Mishnah Masech Nida, Daf Lamed Omer Aleph, there tells that when a child is born, the father contributed five elements to the child, and the mother contributed five elements. Those are physical. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu contributes 10 elements to the child, and those are spiritual. And amongst them is the Keach Ariya, the power of sight. It would be very difficult to clinically, physically analyze the power of sight. And from the power of sight comes light to man. And he takes light and he brings it into himself. And light, the sages tell us, is something which is non-physical. The or. And there is nothing which brings something into the very essence of man and makes an imprint forever as sight. When you see something, you are bringing something into yourself. And it's making an imprint. It makes an imprint on the brain and in the soul. And it stays there forever. It states, Urisem Esayus Hatem is called Mitzvah Hashem. For example, you shall look at the tzitzis and then you will remember the Mitzvah Hashem. So the sages say, Ria Mevili De Zechira. Looking brings one to remembering. Now, you look with the eyes and you remember with the brain, with the mind. From here we see how closely they're connected. When you see something, it triggers off and makes an imprint in the mind. These were things we could not understand a long time ago, but today we understand them much better clinically, because today they can do all types of tests which they see that the brain has stored things like a computer for years and years and years, and it can be called back into the consciousness of the person. And this is why Shlomo HaMelech King Solomon said in Keheles, Perakala Posuches, Le Shizba Ein Lires. The eye never satisfies, never becomes satisfied from seeing. You know, you can look and look and look and never get full. This is different than other organs of the body. There's only so much you can eat. There's only so much you can drink. But for ayin, le shis ba'ayin lirais. The eye looks, it never gets satisfied. Because the ri is bilti gashmi. This is something which is non-physical. This is also true about the ear. Because Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon said in that same pasuk, le shemole eizen mishmaya. The ear also never gets filled up from hearing. It's also true by the ear. But the eyes are a more forceful and powerful element of man than the hearing. This the Gemara tells us. Gemara says, for example, Ein Edema Shmiel Ria. Hearing is not the same as seeing. Or it states, Leite Shmiel Gdele Maria. Hearing is not as great as seeing. You see something, That's a far more forceful experience than when you hear about it. Now, all of this is both for good and for evil. Cite a few examples. For good, the mitzvah of tzitzis. What is the mitzvah of tzitzis, the Gemara says? Well, to wear them, but it says, urisema isa, in order that you shall see them. When you see them, it brings you to do mitzvahs. Or it states, v'hoyo inecha reis es marecho. Your eyes shall be upon the one who teaches you Torah. And here we learn that it's a mitzvah, that when you learn Torah by someone, you should look at him. That's why when they used to learn Torah, they used to sit in a half circle, and the Rebbe would sit at the head of the circle, so everyone could see him. Nobody would sit behind him, because it states, "V'hoyu einecha reyes es marecho." It's different when you see someone who's teaching you Torah than when you merely hear. By Yaakov, when he heard that Yosef was still alive, he said, Ravai Jesef benichai, elcho ve'ereno v'terem amus. He says, my son Yosef is still alive, let me go see him. He wanted to see him before he dies. When he saw him, he said, Amusa apom, acharei ro'isias ponecho ki eit chochai. He says, I never believed that now I can leave this world because I have seen him when he's still alive. Actually, when we were discussing this year, last Sukkot in Germiston, and there's a young man, Hillel Galumpik, and he mentioned to me afterwards, he says, we see the same thing by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe wanted very much to go into Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gezer. He made a decree, no, you can't go in. But he says, I'll let you see the land. If you can't go in, so what good is seeing the land? The Torah tells us, Ale Reisha Pisco, and Pashas Veschon, Chanan. Ale Reisha Pisco, go up to the mountain, Visa Einecho, lift up your eyes, Yomav Utsfeinu Teimonim Mizrocho. To the west and to the north, and to the south and to the east, v'rabe einecho, and look at the land with your eyes. Ki leisavor esayade nazer, but you will not cross the Jordan to go in, which is very good. So here we see what one can do with his eyes for good, for mitzvahs. To the contrary, the Gemara brings, Al tistakel b'nei rosho. You shouldn't look at an evil person, because it's going to make an impression on your brain and on your soul. That evil. Or, there are many, many things which we are not allowed to look at or to gaze at. There's a medrash. There's a medrash in Megillas Esther. Parsha Zayin. And the pasuk Vayar Homan ki ein Mordechai kereo mishtacha veloy. What set off the whole almost tragedy of Purim, which, as we spoke in the Purim shiur, was the greatest threat in the history of Israel? Vayar Homan ki ein Mordechai kereo mishtacha veloy. Because Haman saw that Mordechai would not bow to him. Vayar Haman, from what he saw. So the Medrash says as follows. Omar Barab Aibu brings a pasuk from Tilim Samech Tes. Techoshachna einehem shulrei meiraos. The eyes of the evil should become blackened. The evil should lose their sight, because lefi shemares einehem shel rishayim mordes isam legehenem. Because the evil from their sight brings churban, brings destruction to others and to themselves. It would be better if the evils, if the evil would become blind. This is what David HaMelech said. Where do we see this? It cites many examples. Vayiru b'nei Elikim as b'nei Sodom. Right at the beginning of the creation, it states that there were these angels that came down and they saw the beauty of the daughters of men, and from there they it brought them to all types of evil and churban. Vayar chom avi Kanaan, or chom, when he saw his father Kanaan drunk in the tent, he went and he did an avera, and it brought churban to his seed forever. Vayar Esav ki raos benos Kanaan. Esav, he saw that his father told Yaakov not to marry the daughters of Canaan, so he went and did the same thing there. He was working on deceiving his father. Vayar Balak ben Sipor, when Balak saw Klal Yisrael come out of Egypt, he went. It brought him to try to destroy them. Vayar Bilam kitei beinecha Hashem levorech es Yisrael. When Bilam saw, he went and tried to destroy them. Vayar Haman ki eid Mordechai kereo mishtachav alai. When Haman saw that Mordechai would not bow to him from his sight, he was brought to try to totally annihilate Klal Yisrael. Then the Medrash continues, Avomaris einehem shel tzadikim tor. But the sight of the righteous, this should be heavily increased. This brings brocha and light to the world. Lefi shemaris einehem shel tzadikim mala esom lemala elyona. The sight of righteous brings them to greater heights. States Abraham lifted his eyes and he saw there were three travelers in the distance. This brought brocha to Abraham and his whole family, a seed for forever. He went and he took in the three travelers. By the sacrifice of Yitzchok, Abraham lifted his eyes and he saw there was a ram caught in the bush. From here he went and he fulfilled the sacrifice to the ram. Vayar vihine ber basode. Yaakov went and he looked and he saw a whale in the field. And this is where he went and he met Rochel. Vayar vihine asnea. Moshe went and he saw a phenomenon. A bush was burning. So he went to see it. This Riyah, this sight, brought him to speak for the first time to Hashem. Vayar Pinchas. Pinchas saw what the Nasi of Shimon and the Midianite women, what they were doing. And through here he brought greatness to himself and the nation. Lefichochem Shmeichim B'maris Einehem. The evil, he says, their sight is a curse. But the sight of the righteousness, he says, they rejoice in their power of sight. As it states, Yiru Yishorim Vismochu. Let the upright see, and they rejoice. And this is why also we find that we said that it's the myrtle plant, the Hadassah, which looks like the eye. And we said that's the plant that its branches, its leaves cover the wood. That's the plant, that's the branch, the plant of modesty. Because what a person needs the greatest modesty is by his eyes. As the Gemara brings on the Pasuk, Mateva Alecha Yaakov, when Bilam saw, he saw how beautiful the tents were of Yaakov, or Mishkanesech Yisrael. As the Gemara brings in Baba Basra, he saw that their tents were lined up, Shelo where not one could look from his window into the window of his next door neighbor. So he saw Matovu, how nice they lived. They lived in privacy. They lived with modesty. And this is the sugi of Hezekiah. Because eyes need to be guarded. Also in the Mishnah Masechet Ovos, in Perek Beis Mishnah Yud Gimel, there it speaks that one of the greatest attributes that a person can have is an Ein Tova, a good eye. And one of the worst attributes that a person can have is an Ein Ro, a bad eye. This is the Hadassah, which reminds us of the eyes, of the power of sight. Now, Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, our three forefathers, they are known as the eyes and the light of the world, because for 2,000 years, it states there was Tehu Vavayhu. First 2,000 years of the world, there was darkness and emptiness. There was no Torah. Until Avraham started to study Torah. And then came the era of Torah. So it was Avraham that brought light into the world. That's why it states in the Medrash, Vayhi Or, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let there be light, the sun brought forth physical light. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had more than that in mind. It says, Zeh Avraham. This is Avraham. He was referring to that there'll be a greater light in the world than the sun. And that'll be Avraham Avinu. And that's when Avraham and Yitzchok and Yaakov went and started to study and fulfill Torah. That's when the light came to the world. And therefore, they were the light and the eyes of the world. They were the beginning of the leaders of the world. And the Gemara, the Chazal tell us that the manhigei ha'edo, the leaders of the community, they're called einei ha'edo, the eyes of the community. Now we have the arova. The arova represents the mouth. The mouth, the power of speech. We find that this power brought man totality. As it states that when he was created, man was created by Yitzor Odom. Ofra min Adoma, he was created from the dust of the earth, by Yipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chaim, and Hashem blew into his nostrils a living soul, by Yodon lo Nefesh Chayo, then he became now man, and Targum Onkelos says, Ruach Mamalo, he was able to speak. The sages always refer to man as the Medaber, the speaker. This brought a totality to him. The power of speech cannot be underestimated. Shlema Melech, King Solomon in Mishlei says, Mobes Bechaim Biyad Haloshon. Death and life is within the grips of the tongue. An example of life: one person can tell another person something good, something nice. He's mechayeh him. He can tell him encouraging words, divrei idud. He can inspire him. Ish el chavere yemechazok. The Gemara tells us that if you give tzedakah to a poor man, one of the greatest mitzvahs. But when you give him good words also, this is even a greater mitzvah. This is the Gemara in Baba Basra, in the first perek. The Rambam brings it in Perek Yud of Matnas Anim, Halacha Dalet, Kalanesin Stoka Loni Besever Ponim Rose. If you give tzedakah to a poor man and with a bad spirit,
Pon of Kushis Bekarka. You give it begrudgingly. Afilonosan Layalev Zuvim. Even if you give him 1,000 pieces of gold. Ibeitz Husayvif Sidoi. You lose your schus. I hear you're giving him 1,000 pieces of gold, but you're giving it to him begrudgingly, and you're grumbling. You lose your schus. But you must give it to him with a good spirit and with simcha, and you must give him idud, medaber lai divrei tanhumim v'nehumim. You must raise his spirit. And this is what the Gemara says: Anesim prutalonim isborach b'sheis brachas. You give money to a poor man, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you 6 brachas, 6 blessings. But if you give him good words, also misborach b'yud aleph brachas. For that pius, for these good words you give him, you get 11 brachas. So we see what the power of speech can do. And then there's Dibartem Bom. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, speak in words of Torah. That's real chayim. That's life forever. The Medrash here in Parshas Emor says, Ein kol beria yochol liten schar ledov echet shel Torah. No person could ever pay the reward which is worthy for one word of Torah. This is what Torah is. And this comes through speech. So we see the enormous forceful force of the mouth, of the speech. This is what King Solomon said, Chaim b'yad haloshon. Life is in the hands of the tongue. What's an example of Moves b'yad haloshon? Death is in the hands of the tongue. There's loshon hara, slandering a person, rechilus and machlekes. Machlekes is making machlekes. Rechilus is carrying something from one person to another person that you know that will be inflammatory. When Reuven says something, even though it was not Loshon Hara, even though it was, there was nothing bad about it, but you know, if you tell Shimon, it can be inflammatory, it can cause machlekes. That's from the worst avedas in the Torah, to tell Shimon. And on that we have the case of Nov Ira Kohanim. When David had to flee from Shaul and the city of Nov, which is the city of Kohanim, took him in and gave him refuge. And Dov Adomi went and reported this to Shaul, even though there was nothing bad they did. But this was inflammatory. This would anger Shaul. And this brought Shaul to kill the entire city. This was the downfall of Dov and the downfall of Shaul. In the Nach, it states that Shaul lost the Malchus, the kingship, on 2 Averas. The Avera, this Avera, and the Avera where he did not destroy Amalek. The Rambam brings in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Deos. He says, someone who says Rechilus, this is Oven Godelhu, Vigerim Laharig Nefoshis Rabbis B'Yisrael. It's a great Avera and causes to kill many people in Israel. Say, Laman Ma'ira Ledego Adomi. Go and see what happened to Deog Adomi. Then he brings someone who says Loshon Hara. It's even worse. And on this, even if it's true, Hareza Machri V'Sa'olam, he destroys the world. So this is Amovis B'yad HaLoshon. You can build worlds with the tongue, and you can destroy worlds with the tongue. Now, we take the lulav, and we take the hadassis, the arovis, the willows, which resemble the mouth. And we use it for Hashem, because this is how we're supposed to use our speech, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for Chaim, and not heaven forbid for Moves. Now, we said before that
the beginning of the light in the world. In other words, the eyes of the world were the three of us, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The power of speech in the world, this was Moshe Aaron. Because the eyes see, and the eyes bring the knowledge to the mind. But to give this knowledge to someone else, this you need the dibaltobo. This you have to speak. And Moshe and Aaron were the ones who gave the Torah to the world. They gave the Torah to Israel and to the world. And that's why in the whole Torah it always states, it says, Vaydaber Moshe el b'nei Yisrael. Vaydaber, daber el b'nei Yisrael. All the time, Moshe and Aaron are commanded to speak and to speak. V'heim hoyu malamdim teret l'Yisrael. So the beginning of the light in the world, this came from the Gimel Oves, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They brought the first light. This was the eyes of the world. But the fulfillment of Torah in the world, this came through Moshe and Aaron, where they taught Torah to the world. Now we go to the Esrog. The Esrog, we said, is Deima Lelev. It resembles the heart. The Mishnah Masechta Ovis, Perek Beis Mishnah Yud Gimel, Chamisha Talmidim Hoyola Rabbi Yechman Zakkai. Rabbi Yechman Zakkai had five great disciples. Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkines, Rabbi Shua ben Hananya, Rabbi Yeshe HaKoyin, Rabbi Shimon ben Nisaniel, Rabbi Lozer ben Aroch. And he used to praise them and count their praises and so on. He said, Tzu'ur u, ezi derech tova, shiit bak bo odom. He told his five Talmidim, go and see what is the best quality. If man will have a single quality, what would be the best quality that one could choose, that he should cleave to? Rabbi Lezer said, Ein Tova, a good eye. Rabbi Shua said, Chover Teif, a good friend. Rabbi Yesi said, Shochein Tov, a good neighbor. Rabbi Shimon says, someone who can see what can come out of a situation. He can see in advance. Rabbi Lozer ben Aroch, he said, Lev Tov, a good heart. Rabbi Yehman Zakkai said, I choose the words of Lozer ben Aroch, because what he said encompasses everything that you all said. The greatest single quality that man can have is a good heart. If he has a good heart, this encompasses everything else. It encompasses a good eye and a good friend and a good neighbor and a reyes and neilet. It encompasses everything. Then he said, Tzu'uru, go out and see Ezer Derech Ro. What is the worst thing that can happen to man in order that he should be misrachik, he should distance himself from? And again, everyone said their piece, an evil eye and an evil friend and an evil neighbor, someone who borrows and doesn't pay. And again, the Blazer ben Aroch said, a levra, an evil heart. And the Yechem ben Zakkai said, Reya anias divrei alozer ben Aroch mi divreichem shebechlal dvorov divreichem. He says, I choose his words because he encompasses everything that you say. So we see that the greatest single quality that a person could have would be a lev tov, a good heart. And the worst single quality that a person could have would be an evil heart. Why is this? The answer is because the heart is considered the central point of man. And it's also considered the greatest force in man. Just like physically. Physically, all the blood circulates with the heart. It's purified with the heart. If a man has something else wrong with him, it's not good. But if he doesn't have a good heart, that's bad. But the sages tell us this is not only true physically, but this is also true in other spheres also. All of the emotions go through the heart. Ava vesino, love and hatred, anger or generosity, revenge or compassion, joy or sadness. And emotions are the strongest force on man, because the physical body itself is not a mover. It needs something to move it. And even though we're supposed to be guided with the mind and not with emotions, but the mind is something which is further from us. The emotions are closer to us. Mind is something you have to strive for. Emotions are immediately. For example, you take a young baby. There's already emotions. Well, the mind only matures at a much later age. So therefore, the strongest force, motivator in man, are the nefesh, the emotions, which has its seat at the heart. It comes out, therefore, that the lev is the greatest manik. This is the greatest motivator, the greatest driver in man. Therefore, if he has a lev ra, he's going to be in a great deal of trouble. If he has a lev tov, if he has a good heart, then he becomes a wonderful person. And this is, for example, that the Gemara tells us, tefillah. It states, "Lo'avdu b'chol levavchem." You should serve Hashem with all of your heart. Gemara says, when is there servitude with the heart? We're speaking here not to serve Him with your money, not to serve Him physically, not to serve Him spiritually, not mentally, but with your heart. So Gemara says, that's an emotional type of servitude. What is an emotional type of servitude? Hevayim is tefillah. That's tefillah. Because tefillah is either tachnunim, where you appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or shireis v'sishbachis, or haidah, where you sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or you praise Him, or you thank Him. These are all emotions of the heart. And therefore, when it states lo'avdei b'chol levavchem, this refers to tefillah. It comes out, therefore, that the heart is considered the king of man, because it's the motivator. The king is the leader. The king drives the nation. And it's the heart that drives man. And this is why we find that by the king, Torah says, "Lo yaber le'noshim ve'lo yoseh levavei." It says a king is not allowed to have too many wives, lest they turn his heart. So the Rambam asks the question: why are we worried about the king more than anyone else? It should be anybody shouldn't have too many wives, lest they turn his heart away. Why worried about the king? So the Rambam says, because we do not want the heart of the king to be turned, because the heart of the king is the heart of the nation. Maral explains that to every ruler, there's another ruler that rules him. What rules the ruler? What rules every man? His heart. So what rules the ruler? The king's heart. And that's why the king's heart is so important. If the king rules the nation, and the king's heart rules the king, we have to be very careful about the king's heart. Because if that's turned away from Hashem, that will turn the whole nation away from Hashem. Therefore, the Torah said, Layaber Lainoshim, we're worried about the king shouldn't have too many wives. Lo Yosilavove, lest his heart be turned around. Shaliba Shalamelach Leif Shalam. Because the heart of the king rules the king, and the king rules the nation. So this means the heart of the king rules the nation. That's the heart of the nation. And this we have to be careful, shouldn't be turned around, shouldn't be turned away. Therefore, we have an esrog. The esrog resembles the heart. That we're supposed to serve our Kodesh Baruch Hu with a leiv tov, with a good heart. The king of Klal Yisrael was Yehuda. When it came to motivating, when it came to leading, driving, this was Yehuda. As it states, Yehuda Yale Bereish, Yehuda went first. Lo Yosef Shevet Mi Yehuda, the staff of kingship shall never leave Yehuda. And eventually, who became, which family became kings from Yehuda? This was David HaMelech. And David HaMelech was known as the heart of Israel. This is why we find that the foundation of tefillah and shirais and tishboches, of song and of praise, this was David. Our greatest praises and our greatest prayers come from David, who wrote the Tehillim. And then we have the lulav. And the lulav, the Medrash tells us, is the shidra. That's the spine of the person. The spine is a very interesting part of man. And it was given to him, it was given to man for three purposes. Firstly, so he could stand straight. Without a spine, he would not be able to stand straight. Now, this is a very important purpose, because this makes man into a king. Because the sages tell us that all creations were created to walk bent over. Nothing has a spine that can make him stand straight. Only man was given a spine that makes him stand straight. Because man was made as king of the world, and all of the other creations were made for his servants. Man was made B'Tselem Elokim, because man was made like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a king, he made man also into a king. So that's the first purpose of the spine. The second purpose of the spine is for a shmirah. It's the spine that guards and holds the whole body structure intact. And it creates a foundation for it and an achdus that unifies it. It unifies and holds the body together. And this is also the power of a king. Because it was the responsibility of the king, of the sovereign. Today we don't have kings, we have governments. What is their responsibility? To be the foundation and the guardian of the nation, and to unify it. That's the second purpose of the shidra, of the spine. Third purpose of the spine. What is the third purpose of the spine? The spine of the human being was given to him to give him a power to bend over. Kodesh Baruch Hu could give us a spine that is straight, and we wouldn't be able to bend over. Or he could have given us a spine like an animal that can't stand straight. He gave us a spine that we can stand upright and still bend over. Why is it necessary for us to bend over? So we could bow to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara Masechet Seita tells us that there was another king when he created man. He created man to be the overall king of this world, but he created another king to be king of all of the wildlife, and that was the Nochash HaKadmoni, the original first serpent. And therefore the serpent went upright, the Gemara tells us, like man. Hanochash hoyo orum mikol achayis. He was more intelligent and clever than all of the other animals, and he went upright. He was a king. It's strange because today we see he's the lowest of all the animals. He doesn't walk on all fours, but he crawls on his belly. So Morris says, why? Because he used his spine only to stand up. He didn't use his spine to bow. When a king elevates someone to a high position, but he doesn't want him to rebel against himself, what happens when he rebels against himself? He takes away that high position and he gives him even a lower position than he had before. The serpents used that spine to cause rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He enticed Chava and Adam to eat from the tree. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if that's the case, Al Gehenche Telech Selech, you will crawl on your belly, you will be lower than all of the other animals. You knew how to stand upright, but you didn't know how to bow to me. So therefore his spine was taken away from him. These are the three purposes of the spine. Now, this was also had to do with kingship. We had another king in Israel, and this was Yosef. And Yosef had fulfilled all three. Yosef stood upright. He became a great king. He became a king over Egypt. He became a king over all of the brothers. The spine, we said, had to unify and guard. Yosef did that. We find Yosef guarded his mother. It states he stood up and he guarded his mother, Rachel, that Esav shouldn't gaze at her. He went and he guarded and took care of all the of his father and the whole household, all of the brothers, when they came into Egypt. But we see Yosef had another part. He was able to bow. No matter how great he was elevated to, he was called the most powerful man in the world at that time. Because Egypt had become the empire and they had gathered up all of the wealth of the world. And Pare was afraid of Yosef. He was the most powerful man in the world. It states, V'yosef omdei b'tzidkei. He never left his righteousness. He didn't turn to the right or to the left. But he fulfilled Kaim Uraisa b'sisro. He fulfilled all of the Torah in Egypt, in the palace, wherever he was. He bowed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore he was called Yosef HaTzadik. And it states, the Tzadik is the Yesod Olam. He's the foundation. This was Yosef. It's interesting also, it states, Tzadik HaToma Yifroch. The Tzadik shall grow like a date tree. And from the date we get the lulav. Now, in summary, the Mishnah in Perek Lulav HaGozel, Lamedale Ramad Beis, Rabbi Shmuel says, we must take Gimel Hadassim, three myrtle plants, Shtei Arovos, two willow plants, Lulav Echod, one Lulav, Be'esrog Echod, and one Esrog. So this is a total of seven. And we said that they all have what they're supposed to bring out in us. The hadassim, they look like eyes. It's supposed to bring out in us how to use our eyes for Hashem. Eyes are the light. Now there were three. And we said this was Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They were the three that brought light into the world. The beginning of light. The two Arovas, the Arovas, we said, resembles the mouth. How we should use our mouth
and our power of speech for Hashem, for Chaim and not for Moses. There were two, because in our history this was Moshe Aaron. They took the light of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, and they gave it to the people through teaching them Torah, through their speech. Lulav, there was one. This is the Shidra. This is the spine. This represents how man is to stand upright in this world, like a king. How he is to guard himself and others. Not go to the right or to the left, but be yosher, perfect. And how he's to bow to Hashem with his spine, no matter what height he reaches. This was Yosef. Esrog, this resembles the heart, how we're supposed to use our heart for Hashem. Lev Tov, this is the central force of man, the greatest motivator. The greatest motivator of man is the king Yehuda, David. This was David, who used his heart for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create such astonishing and beautiful the tefillos and the shiros and the tishbuches. These are the seven, when we have four species, but they add up to seven, and these are the seven leaders of Klal Yisrael. Just one final note. These seven equate themselves to our, these are called the Shivu Reim, the Shivu Shpizim. Many years ago, I thought this in one of the Sforim, but then I couldn't find it again. This last Sukkot, we had a guest with us who was from Morocco. So he showed me in his siddur, he had a Morocco or a Sfardim, and his father's a siddur. So he had there one of the piyutim, which was called Lula Ve'esrig La'amlo. So there, it writes all of this. It states that the Gimel Bade Hadassim, the three Hadassis. This is the Oves, the three Oves. The two are Oves. This is Moshe Aaron. The Esrig is David, and the Shidra is Yosef. So I was very happy to see that again. Anyway, this gives us some insights into this mitzvah of Lulav Ve'esrig. And this is what David HaMelech said. He said, Kolatz Meisei Tumanu Hashem Miko Malcho Oma David Ein Becholo Evorim Godel Me'elu. That in every part of the human being you do not find four more important ones than these, and they're Shkulin Kenege Kol Aguf, they equal the entire person. Therefore Kolatz Meisei Tumanu Hashem Miko Malcho, with the Lulav and the Esrog and the Hadassah and the Arova, praise Hashem. And man must always praise Hashem with every part of himself. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.